All right, we're getting on the top of Ayin Bet Amud Aleph for the two dots. Kotzrim mipnei anitiyot u'mipnei beit avel u'mipnei beit midrash. So these are the things that you're allowed to do prior to Ktzirat Omer, despite the fact that there is a restriction against doing Ktzirah lifnei Ktzirat Omer. So Kotzrim mipnei anitiyot, we'll discuss again. Rashi noted before that there were two possible reasons for that. Beit avel and beit midrash are mipnei mitzvah. My time out. What's the reason this is allowed? Ktzir chem amar rachmana v'lo ktzir mitzvah. That only when it's your ktzir is there a problem, but if there's a ktzir mitzvah, then it's not a problem. So Rashi over here brings two possibilities. The first of which is that it only references to the latter two of the three items here, which is beit avel u beit midrash. Those are ktzir mitzvah. And again here, the meaning of ktzir mitzvah doesn't literally mean that you did it for a mitzvah, but rather it is not for your own benefit. So it's actually the negative formulation. The only thing that is restricted is ktzirchem, something that you do for yourself personally or for your own ktzirah. Anything that's not defined as that will be fine, even though inherently it may not be a mitzvah, but it facilitates a mitzvah, that itself will be okay. So therefore, to clear it for Beit Avel, Mipnei Beit Midrash, those are permitted because they are ktzir mitzvah, not ktzirchem. But the guard student, Mipnei Anitiyot, Rashi brought two reasons as to why you're allowed to clear it b'nei nitiyot. One of which was that it is a subpar field. Because you have trees and you have grain in that area, when you plant the grain in a ste'ilan, the grain that you get is not the highest quality, and therefore it's disqualified from the omer. If that's the case, then this section of the Gemara has nothing to do with that. Then we're only discussing the latter two items, which was beit avel, beit midrash. Now then, Rashi and the Mishnah brought a second possibility, which is mipnei nitiyot is kilayim, that something grew in the interim period when the grain was there, a tree or something emerged that would have been kilayim. And so we allow you to remove it because of the kilayim that exists. In that case, it would be the same thing here, which would be ktzir chem below ktzir mitzvah. Over there, you're performing a mitzvah, you're removing the kilayim, that would be permitted, even though it's prior to Ktzirat Omer, and then this would reflect on all three of the items that are noted here from the Mishnah. You can't make them into bundles. You have to leave them loose. My time, the Kama de Efshar lo tarchinan. As much as possible, we try not to do tircha. We limit the amount of engagement. It's not clear here why there is any restriction against tircha or extra engagement. The possibility is that even in areas where we permitted Ktzirah before Ktzirah to Omer, we don't want you engaging any further with the items because you might come to eat them. You can see that in the Rabbeinu Gershom where he says, Lo tarchinan lasot kidarko lifnei Omer mishum shinui. So that might be the restriction over here, is simply that we don't want you to be toreach because of the problem of coming to eat them. I didn't say anybody says this, but I thought possibly that this might have to do also with the cutting, that you shouldn't put them into krichot, you shouldn't tie them up beforehand in order to cut them versus leaving them loose, but I'm not sure that is the right interpretation. Mitzvah da'omer, lavi min akama. The mitzvah da'omer is to bring it from standing grain. Tanu banan, ve'im takriv mitchat bikurim. When they're quoting the pasuk here, they're quoting the first part of the pasuk, but the real issue is the second part of the pasuk, which is that there's a duplication in the pasuk, which is im takriv minchat bikurim lashem aviv kalui b'esh geres karmel takriv et minchat bikurecha. So you have the pasuk begin im takriv and then have it end takriv. So you have the word takriv that appears twice, and that's what Chazal are focused on over here, is the duplication of the word takriv. So v'im takriv minchat bikurim matam aloma lefish mitzvah ta'omer l'avim min akama. The proper way to do it is to bring it from that standing grain, because it is mehechel chermesh bakama. Minayin shimlo matza min akama yavi min ha'omarim. How do I know that if you can't find standing grain, that you're allowed to use stuff that's already been cut or piled up? Tamalomar takriv. You bring it. Whatever it is that you need to do to bring it, you do. Davar acher. Takriv. Lefishim mitzvah lavi min alach. You're supposed to bring from that which is fresh, that which is moist. You can't find that which is moist, that which is fresh. You bring from stuff that is dried out. Tamalomar, takriv. Again, you bring it no matter what. Davar acher, takriv. Lefishim mitzvah to liktzor balayla. The mitzvah is to do the ktzirah at night. And you can see in Rashi, Kedaman Beresh Pirkin, as we saw earlier in our perek, you're not going to find Sheva Shabbatot Mimot, Elim Kain, you do something at night. You need to do it from the beginning. Havat Omer is during the day. How do you get the Sheva Shabbatot Mimot? Because we do Ptzirat Omer at night. Minayim Shim Niktzar Bayom Kasher. How do I know if you bring it during the day, meaning that you do the Ptzirat Omer during the day instead of at night? Vidoche et Shabbat. Tomadomar Takriv. That's what the puzzle tells you, Takriv. The truth is that once you know that it can be brought from the Omrin, then why do you need this next stage of the Braita to tell you that it's not Niktzar Balayla, but Niktzar Bayom, it's okay. If you don't need Ktzira at all, then certainly if you did Ktzira Bayom, it should be fine. So there are two approaches to this. One approach is to say that this is Matir Niktzar Bayom Acharav. This comes to teach you that even if you do the Ktzira after the nighttime, it's still Kasher. You would have had a Havamina that since the Ktzira needs to be done by Laila in order to be Tmimot, then be one thing if you did it beforehand. But to do it afterwards, maybe it wouldn't work. This is what it comes to say, Im lo Niktzira Balayla, Niktzira Bayom. The other possibility is to suggest that, by the case of Omrin, that you're not Yotze in the mitzvah of Ktzira. This part of the Braita comes to teach you that even if you do Ktzira Bayom, that it is classified as a Ktzira. And that's what the Chiddush is over here, is that you're still Mekayim that mitzvah of Ktzira when you do Ktzira Bayom, even though if you brought it from Omrim, you'd also be fine, and therefore you don't need this. But this comes to teach you that there is a din of Ktzira when you do Ktzira Bayom. Takriv koshu, takriv mikol makom. As Rashi continues to explain, koshu means af min omarim, even from those piles. Mikol makom, af min arachuk mi Yerushalayim, even from things that are far away from Yerushalayim. Takriv afilu b'shabbat, takriv afilu b'tumah. So the word takriv gives all of these items. So this word takriv, or the limud from the word takriv, gives you clearance for all of these additional items. It gives a lot of latitude in terms of bringing the Korbana Omer, all the items that are required or necessary for it, it waives many of those items in extenuating circumstances. Now the Gemara says, Niktzar Bayom Kasher. If you do Ktzirat Omer in the day, it is Kasher. This has huge implications in terms of the mitzvah, which we'll discuss in a minute. Batznan, Kol HaLayla Kasher, the Ktzirat Omer. All night is Kasher for Ktzirat Omer. Ulaktir Chalavim Ve'irverim. And to put the fats and the Ivarim on the Mizbeach. Zeaklau. This is the principle. This is a Mishnah in Megillah. Devar Shemitzvato Kol Hayom, Kasher Kol Hayom. Any mitzvah where the mitzvah is supposed to be done during the day, then the entire day is available to do the mitzvah. Devar Shemitzvato Balayla. Anything that the mitzvah is associated with night, Kasher Kol Halayla. The entire night is Kasher for it. So now the Gemara makes the diuk. Tani Laila Dum Yediyom. Nighttime is parallel to daytime. Madiyom balaylalo. Just like the daytime mitzvot, you can only do them during the day, not at night. Avdalayla bayom namilo. So too, the night mitzvot, you can't do during the day. So the problem said Ktzirat Omer balayla. If it says balayla, it means at night and not during the day. So now we have a stira between our Mishnah over here, which says that Ktzirat HaOmer is at night, but if you can't do it at night, doing during the day, versus the Mishnah Megillah, which seems to indicate certain mitzvot at night and exclusively at night, certain mitzvot during the day, exclusively during the day. And one of those is Ktzirat HaOmer, which would be exclusively at night. So how do I reconcile between the Mishnah Megillah and the Mishnah over here? Amar Rabba Lo Kasha. Ha Rabbi? Ha Rabba Lo Zeb Rabbi Shimon. It's two different authors, two different Tanaim. Detanya, Hayomeid umakriv minchat omer v'nitmeit. He was there, ready to put the minchat omer on the mizbeach, and suddenly it became tamei. Something happened that made the omer tamei. Im yesh acheret, omer lo have acheret tachteha. If he has another one available, then he brings another one instead of the one that is tamei. V'im lav, if not, omer lo have pikeach, be wise, b'shtok, and be silent, divrei Rabbi. The Rabbi over here gives you two options. The first option of which is if you have a replacement, bring in the replacement. If you don't have a replacement, he says, be quiet. Don't say anything about it. So now, Rashi explains over here, why would you bring another one if it's Tameh? We do generally have a principle that Tuma Hutra or Dukhuya Betzibur, there's no reason here to replace it. You could simply bring it and it should be fine. So Rashi says, Shelo yomru mutar lakrib minchat tmeyav afilu biyachid. We don't want to set a bad precedent by which people are bringing minachot that are tmeyot, because mincha also has a manifestation biyachid. People think that tuma applies to certain korbanot, but in mincha, we waive tuma, and so we don't want people to get the wrong idea here about bringing a mincha bituma. The other possibility is that we're not worried, we're just, if we have an option to do it not bituma, and to do it bituma, we prefer not to do it bituma. That really speaks to tuma dechuya b'tzibur, where if you have the alternative, then we just say do it properly rather than improperly. As you can see, that Tosfot notes that afilu man damar tuma utra b'tzibur may be acheret latir shirayim. So even though technically you could bring the mincha, but in order to have the shirayim ne'achalim lekohanim, we prefer to bring a mincha Torah rather than a mincha tmeah. What Rabbi is saying is that he now has to bring a new omer. If he brings a new omer, it's clear that he doesn't have any leftover ktsira from the night before. When he says bring a new omer, he's telling him basically go out and cut new barley right now and process the whole thing and bring a korban omer at this point. So what Rabbi is saying is that ktsira to omer during the day is permitted, because you did this stuff last night. It's no longer last night. It's the day now, and he's saying replace it. You replace it by doing ktsirat omer now and then processing it. So if you have that option, go ahead and do it. So Rabbi seems to indicate that ktsirat omer during the day is fine. In addition, he says here that if you can't do it, he should be silent. Question is, why should he be silent about this? Why shouldn't he tell anybody that it is tamei? So it could be that we're just trying to cover up the tumah, and we don't want people to get the wrong idea about bringing something to tumah. Although there is a ramification of this, which is that the sheirei minchat omer are eaten by the kohanim. If he doesn't declare that it's tamei, the kohanim are going to eat something that is tamei. So there are those that say that's why he should be quiet, because then the kohanim will eat it. But why should that be okay? Why is he allowed to facilitate a isur taking place? Because he just keeps quiet. Since it's meratzeh on tumah, only to allow it to have akrava mizbeach. Since it's never meratzeh for achila, never allows one to eat the korban. The only korban that is brought bitumah and eaten bitumah is the korban of Pesach. Besides that, there's no eating of it. So there are those that say that since he was alone, he's only in the eid echad, and he's not going to be neman. People, they can't believe him. You need two eidim in order to testify about something. So now if he declares it tamei, in the meantime, nobody can believe him, but he's going to make the kohanim worry about this and not want to eat it, because he said it's tamei. And that might be bolstered by the Shita Mekubetzet's Girs over here, which says, v'nitmeit biyado, that it became tamei from him alone, and that he alone was associated with the tumah that happened to this mincha. Right, so that's the problem, is that generally we think that Eid Echad is Neman Bisurim, so why shouldn't he be believed that it's tamei over here? They claim that it's Dinei Mamononot over here, because when it comes to the Shirayim of the mincha, that becomes the property of the Kohanim, and therefore when he makes a declaration, he's trying to make a monetary statement about their possession, and therefore it's not just Isurim over here, there's also Dinei Mamononot. But anyway, it is interesting, there are other things where we say in the Tosefta that this is quoted from, so you'd have to look and spend more time on exactly what the genre is. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ben Kach Ben Kach, Omer Lo Harve Pikeach Vishtok. Both situations we say to him, just be quiet and move on. Shekol Omer Sheniktzar Shelok Mitzvato Pasul. If it's not done properly, then it is Pasul. So clearly Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon believes there's only one way to do Ktzirat Omer, and that's at night. If you don't do it at night, it fails. And so now when you're in the daytime trying to deal with it, you don't have any other alternative. Either you bring this, or there's going to be no Omer. So he says, bring this and just go forward with it. So now that would be the explanation. The Mishnah Megillah, which says you can only do it at night, during not during the day, that's Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah says that you can do it not only at night, but if you can't do it at night, you can also do it during the day. That'll be altered by Rabbi. Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, B'shita, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbo Shel Aviv Amra. So he is a grand Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Rebbe, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he's a Talmid of his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What the Gemara is saying here is that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is following Rabbi Akiva's Shita, the Rebbe of his father. Ditznan, Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has a principle, this is in Rabbi Elazar de Mila in the Gemara in Shabbat, that Kol Melacha Shefshar Lasota Me'erev Shabbat, Eino Docha to Shabbat. Any Melacha that you could have done before Shabbat, you do not have permission to be Docha Shabbat in order to accomplish that Melacha on Shabbat. So for instance, when it comes to a milah, milah is docha Shabbat. We do a brit milah on Shabbat. We allow for chabura, we allow for the cutting, we allow for all the processes surrounding the milah to take place on Shabbat. So now you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbat in order to do a milah. How far does that go? So it's machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara and Shabbat with regards to whether that includes any item that facilitates the milah. Is that only items that you couldn't have done beforehand? So Rabbi Akiva says, anything you could have done on Erev Shabbat is not doche Shabbat. That's your fault. You should have taken care of it before Shabbat. You didn't take care of it. We're not going to allow you to violate Shabbat for something you could have taken care of before. Rabbi Lezer says that whatever you need, you can do. So if you forgot to sharpen the knife on Erev Shabbat, you can sharpen it on Shabbat in order to do the milah, even though you could have done it on Erev Shabbat. If it was in Reshut Rabim and you need to bring the knife, you can carry the knife to Reshut Rabim in order to do the milah. Anything that you need for the milah is doche Shabbat according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Kiva is of that dissenting opinion that only things that you couldn't have done beforehand are doche to Shabbat. The Savar Laki Rabbi Yishmael, he also holds like Rabbi Yishmael, the Amar Ktzirat Omer Mitzvah, that doing the Ktzirat Omer is a mitzvah. Titznan, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Macharish Rishut, Av Katzir Rishut. What does it mean, Bacharish Ubekatzir Tishbot? What does that pasuk mean? Machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says it's speaking about Charish and Katzir of Shabbat. Yatzak Ktzir Omer, Shehi Mitzvah. The reason that Charish and Katzir are mentioned there is to tell you, only things that are for your own mundane use are restricted on Shabbat. To plow on Shabbat is restricted. To harvest on Shabbat is restricted, but that's only when it's your plowing and your harvesting, your cutting. But if it is a mitzvah, then it is dochet Shabbat. And so what he's saying is that Tzirat Omer, which is a mitzvah, is permitted on Shabbat. That's the view of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiyabil's view over there, Bacharish, Bacatzir, Tishbot, is it's not speaking about Shabbat, but it's speaking about Shemitah. And it's saying there that the Charish that goes into Shemitah is Asur, and Katzir after Shemitah is also, it's called Tosefet Shemitah, that there is a restriction to plow the fields prior to Shemitah, and there's an Isur of Katzirah, even after the Shemitah year has passed, if the grains are grains of Shemitah. So anyway, there's a Charish and Katzir dealing with Shemitah. What's interesting over here is the Balei HaTosafot point out, Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is following his grand Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Truth is that he only holds like Rabbi Akiva in one area, he holds like Rabbi Shmuel in the other area. So what he points out is, the reason he holds like Rabbi Akiva by the case of Milah and the case of Melechet Shabbat is because the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Akiva over there is Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer is Shmutehu. He was excommunicated. And we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer because of Tanur Shalachnai in the Gemara and Boba Metziah. So that's why he paskins like Rabbi Akiva with regards to Shabbat. When it comes to the Machloket, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva had explained the pasuk of Bacharish v'Katzir, he paskins like Rabbi Shmuel. There he doesn't take up the position of Rabbi Akiva. So that's what the Balei HaTosafot point out, that it doesn't mean he always holds like Rabbi Akiva. It just happens to be in this situation he holds like Rabbi Akiva because his Bar Plukta is Rabbi Eliezer who's Shemutehu. Therefore, we pass him like Rabbi Akiva. But when it came to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, he passed him like Rabbi Shmuel. But if you combine the two together, then this is the result that you get. If you believe that you can do Ktzirat Omer, not at night, you can do it during the day, Amai Dachi Shabbat. Then why is it Doche Shabbat? Nektzerei mi Erev Shabbat. Cut it on Erev Shabbat. And that would have worked. So this goes to the question you asked before. What does it mean to do Ktzirat Bayom? The Gemara here assumes that Ktzira Bayom means both the Yom afterwards and the Yom before. Once you don't have to do it at night, it doesn't really matter whether you do it the day before or you do it the day afterwards. Either way, it's going to be good. So now, if you have an option between Ktzira at night and Ktzira the next day, maybe usually we try to do the Ktzira the next day. At least that's connected to Avat Omer. But in a situation where it's Shabbat and you'd have to be Doche Shabbat to do it the next morning and it's not necessarily a mitzvah, then we tell you to do the Ktzira on the day before. Because if you're not going to do it at night anyway, you may as well do it on the day before. Ella, mididochi Shabbat. The fact that we believe that Ktzira Tomer is Doche Shabbat, Shmamina, Niksar, Shalom, Mitzvato, Pasul. If you don't cut it at the time period where you need to cut it, then it is Pasul. So that's the view of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say that if you didn't have Ktzira Tomer at night, it's no good? That's what he said before. If it comes to me during the day, out of luck. You gotta just bring it bitumah because there's no way to replace the Omer. Because he believes Ksirat Omer at night is Docheta Shabbat and is the only time when there's Ksirat Omer. The reason being, because it's Docheta Shabbat. That's the reason Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. If you combine his Shitot, then if it's Docheta Shabbat, that's clearly an indicator that's the sole time that you could do it. Because if you had an option to do it beforehand, and that would have been kasher, even kasher b'diavad, we tell you not to dochesh Shabbat, because that's Rabbi Akiva's shita, kol she'efshel lasoto me'erev Shabbat. Anything you could have done beforehand, we don't let you do on Shabbat itself and be dochesh Shabbat. So if there was an option to do it otherwise, it wouldn't be dochesh Shabbat. That shows you there is no other alternative. If there's no other alternative, and ktsira is a mitzvah, then it's dochesh Shabbat, but that's only at night. Then that means ktsirat omer is relegated to that single period of time, which is at night. That's the background to the shita of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara says, V'Rabbi, lav talmidei de Rabbi Shimonu? Wait a minute. Isn't Rabbi also a talmid of Rabbi Shimon, and who is a talmid of Rabbi Akiva? So why doesn't Rabbi hold of that position of Rabbi Akiva as well? Tanya, we have a braita found in Eruvin. Amar Rabbi, kishainu lemidim Torah etzel Rabbi Shimon bitkoa. When we were learning Torah by Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa, whether that's Tekoa like we know today in the Gush, which is in the area of Yehudah, or is it Tekoa of the Galil? There's also a Tekoa up there. It's not clear here which Tekoa they're speaking about, but it was Rabbi Akiva learning with Rabbi Shimon by Yochai. Hayinu malim lo shemen valontit. We used to take oil and a towel, mechatzer lagag, from the courtyards up onto the roofs. Omegag the karpif, and from the roofs to the backyards. Mikarpif the karpif acher, from one backyard to another backyard. Ad she'anu magim lemayan, until we reached the spring. She'anu rochatzimbo, that we used to bathe in or we used to wash ourselves in. So this goes to a machloket over there as to rishuyot. We know that when it comes to Shabbat, that even though rishut ha-yachid, you have permission to carry things in, when you have multiple rishuyot ha-yachid, we don't let you carry from one to the other. Even though midoraita, you can carry from your private property into your friend's private property to the next person's private property, there's no issue. Chazal put an institution in place where you have multiple parties owning an area, we don't let you carry from one to the next, or we don't even let you carry in that area, like a chatzer that is shared by a number of parties. We don't let you carry there because of the possible mistake that someone would come to, which says, well, this is a property of shared ownership, and we're allowed to carry. So too, we should be allowed to carry in Rishut HaRabim. So they instituted an Eruv. You would do an Eruv Chatzerot in order to combine the ownership of that area into a single ownership, and that's what lets you carry in the Chatzer. So there were certain exceptions to that. Not every area is classified like this, that way you carry an Eruv for it. Rabbi Shimon is of a belief. All these areas that are not Rishut HaYachid, not the Bayit, are all considered to be one area for Shabbat, and you can carry between them. And that is Chatzer, Gag, and Karpaf. All three of those areas are considered to be one Rishut for Shabbat. And if the Kelim were Shovet, means that they came into Shabbat in one of those three areas, you can carry between them freely without any Eruv, without any problem. So that's what Rabbi is describing over here. Rabbi over here is describing a practice that they had with Rabbi Shimon, following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which is that when Shabbat came in, they had the oil and the towel out in the chatzer. So then they used to carry it from chatzer to Gag to Karpaf. They moved to these rishuyot, jumping between them until they finally got to the mayan, where then they bathed in the mayan, and then they had the shemen and the towel to deal with the anointing and the drying off afterwards. Obviously, all the issues dealing with Shabbat, the Gemara there deals with an Erevin. But our point here is that Rabbi just says, I was learning by Rabbi Shimon. I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon. When we learned by Rabbi Shimon, this is what we used to do. So if Rabbi is a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon, and who is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, how come Rabbi is not governed by the fact that if you could have done it before Shabbat, you shouldn't be able to be Doche Shabbat with it? So my answer is, Sabra laki idach the Rabbi Shimon. He holds of the other view of Rabbi Shimon. Titania, Amar Rabbi Shimon, bo ure kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Let's see how beloved a mitzvah is when it's done in its proper time. Sherei hekter chalavim ve'evarim k'shirim kol ha'layla. When it comes to the fats and the limbs from the korbanot that are brought during the day, they can be put on the mizbeach the entire night afterwards. Despite that fact, v'lo yamamtim lehem ad shetechshach. When it came to the korbanot of Shabbat, You brought the Korban on Shabbat. You could now wait to do the Haktara until evening time, until after Shabbat. So then you don't have to be Dukha Shabbat in order to put these limbs on the Mizbeach. Despite that, they used to put them on the Mizbeach on Shabbat. So Rabbi Shimon says about that, see how beloved a mitzvah is Bishato, that we'd rather be Dukha Shabbat to put this on the Mizbeach on Shabbat, rather than wait till Motzei Shabbat to put it on the Mizbeach. Now, first of all, what you have to say here is that even though night is permitted for the Evarim and the Chalavim, that's still not the primary time to do it. The primary time is to do it during the day. There is a dispensation. There is a ability to bring it at night, but that's not the primary time. Otherwise, we just say to you, wait until night. If you're indifferent between day and night, obviously we tell you to wait at night. The fact that he says that mitzvah b'shato means during the day, that indicates that that is the better mitzvah or the primary mitzvah. What he says is that even though you have a choice between doing the chatchila and b'diavad, we'd rather do the chatchila and be doche Shabbat than wait to do a b'diavad and put it on a motzei Shabbat. Well, if you apply that to our scenario as well, then you would come to the same conclusion, which is even though you could do the Ktzirat Omer during the day beforehand, b'diavad, and it wouldn't be Doche Shabbat, we'd still rather do Ktzirat Omer at night, which is the primary mitzvah, and even though it's Doche Shabbat, and it causes you to be Doche Shabbat. So that's the point that Rabbi's making, that this Rabbi Shimon is indicative of the fact that you would be Doche Shabbat, despite the fact that you have an option to do it otherwise. If that option is lesser of a mitzvah, we'd rather do mitzvah b'shaita and doche Shabbat rather than to do a subpar mitzvah or b'diavad mitzvah, not being doche Shabbat. And so it's over here. You'll do ktsira at night, even though it's doche Shabbat, even though you could have done the ktsira b'yom lifnei kein. So now, it says, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, lo shmielei? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon didn't know about that other member of his father. It's his son. He knows that Rabbi Shimon believes that if you can do things Erev Shabbat, they're not Doche Shabbat. But he also knows the mitzvah b'shaita is a premium that we would invoke to override Shabbat. Elo shani hotam, shari dachta shchita at Shabbat. Says it's very different over there. Over there, you've already been Doche Shabbat for this Korban. You've already entered the world of Tchiyat Shabbat. So we allow you to continue with the Tchiyat Shabbat in order to accomplish mitzvah b'shaita, which is that the Korban Tamid, for instance, on Shabbat, you do the Shechita, and you're Doche Shabbat for the Shechita of the Korban Tamid on Shabbat. Now you have a choice about the Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim, to put it on the Mizbeach now, to put it on the Mizbeach after Shabbat. Well, we already allowed you to do the Shechita on Shabbat. We allowed you to start the processing of the Korban on Shabbat. Once you've already engaged in Chilul Shabbat, in order to do this, as Rashi says, the Kevin Tanita on Shabbat Lidchot Ezel Shechita, once we allow it for Shechita, we'll also allow it for Haktara. We've opened up the possibility of Dechiyat Shabbat. Once we've done that, then just finish off the whole thing. Over here, by Ktzirat Omer, that's not the case. Because Ktzirat Omer, first of all, is the first stage. So we're not going to start the first stage with Dechiyat Shabbat, because there's no other thing that it's allowing for Dechiyat Shabbat over here. It's actually the first stage in the process. That's number one. And number two is, we don't have an indication that the Ktzirat Omer has to be Doche Shabbat. By the Shechita, you have no choice. It has to be Doche Shabbat, because you can only do the Shechita on Shabbat. Once you've already done something that's impossible to do otherwise on Shabbat, then we have more latitude to allow you to complete whatever it is that you began in the Korban. But over here, where there is a possibility of doing it outside of Shabbat, and then it's going to be the first stage of the Avodah, we're not going to allow you to do Dechiyat Shabbat, just because you do a better mitzvah, it's mitzvah b'shaita. Mitzvah b'shaita works when you've already had some other precedent that gives you the Tchiyat HaShabbat. And as the Rabbeinu Gershom explains, that sheet of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Dahai, Dava Maktir Lehu b'Shabbat, La Mishum Dechaviva Mitzvah b'shaita, Ela, Shari Dachta Shechita Tamid HaShabbat, became the Shechita Dachya, Dachya Nami Akhtara. So there's nothing to do with mitzvah b'shaita, it all has to do with the fact that Shechita was already Dochat HaShabbat. Whereas Rashi says that the reason we apply mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita b'shabbat is because nitan shabbat nitchot etzol shechita nitcha nami etzol aktara. So Rashi seems to combine the both reasons, whereas Rabbeinu Gershom says that mitzvah b'shaita is not applicable here at all. But you can look in the girsa of the Shita Mekubetzet, the note Yud, where he takes that out by saying lav mishum. It's not because of chaviv mitzvah, and he makes Rashi sound exactly like the Rabbeinu Gershom. So Rabbi Yachinami dachta shkita de Shabbat. And then the question falls back onto Rabbi. What about you, Rabbi? You're invoking this principle. What about this qualification of the principle? That's only because it was shkita, was doche Shabbat. El kasava Rabbi, tzirat omer, lo dachya Shabbat. Rabbi must hold that tzirat omer is not doche to Shabbat. You don't have that option available to you. The reason you're going to do it before Shabbat is because it's not doche Shabbat. Why is it not doche Shabbat? It's because you have the option to do it before Shabbat. Once you have an option to do it before Shabbat, we can tell you, do it before Shabbat, and not on Shabbat itself. Mitzvah b'shaita. Mitzvah b'shaita doesn't apply here, because there wasn't any precedent or any other d'chiyat Shabbat that would allow you to do d'chiyat Shabbat over here. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, where there's only one option, which is k'tzira b'layla, that's the only time you can do the mitzvah, then it's d'chiyat Shabbat, because there's no other option besides d'chiyat Shabbat to do the k'tzira. Then for Rabbi, who says that k'tzira d'omer can be done during the day as well, there is another option. Once you have that other option, we're not going to allow you to be d'chiyat Shabbat for Tzirat Omer. And that will be Rabbi's position over here. Velo, does Rabbi really not think that the Omer is Doche Shabbat? That's none. V'chumim orim, echad Shabbat, v'echad chol, mishalosh hayaba. This is the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, which is that on a Shabbat and a weekday, they used to do both of them from shalosh sayin. So now that sounds like you are Doche Shabbat for the Tzirat Omer. The local Rabbi. Gemara says, that's right. It's just not like the Rabbi doesn't hold of that. That's not Rabbi's position. Three people. B'shlosh kupot, with three baskets, or b'shlosh magalot, three sides. Again, deloka Rabbi. Not like Rabbi. So here again, you have all these halachot that were brought in the first Mishnah of the Perek, including that you process it from shalosh sa'in. The fact that you use three people, three baskets, and three sides. All of those are done on Shabbat, which indicates that Ketzirat Omer is Doche Shabbat. Gemara answers each time, the local Rabbi. That's not Rabbi's position. He doesn't hold of that. Ube Shabbat Yomar Lehem Shabbat Zo. When the person's declaring what's going on, he says, should we cut this Omer? Should we cut this Omer? And they answer back, one of those was Shabbat Zo. Is today Shabbat and we should do it anyway. So again, the local Rabbi. Rabbi doesn't hold of all of those halachot found in that Mishnah. Alright, so now, Nitzav Hayom Kasher Doche Et HaShabbat. Our Mishnah says that if you cut it during the day, it's still kasher, but it's also Doche Et HaShabbat. We're going to know, Man Shmait Lei Damar Nitzav Hayom Kasher. Who's the author of the position that when you cut during the day, it's kasher? Rabbi. That was the machlok we saw between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi says you can bring it even during the day, B'diavad. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says you can only bring it at night. Diktani, in our Mishnah says, you can bring it during the day, but it's also Doche Et HaShabbat. My love, then what is it speaking about when it says Doche Et HaShabbat, Ktsira? So it sounds like in the Mishnah you have a position which says that during the day it's kasher, and it's also Doche Et HaShabbat. The only person who thinks that it's good during the day is Rabbi. So if Rabbi is the one who says it's good during the day and it says Doche Shabbat, that makes it clear that Rabbi believes that it is Doche Shabbat, against what we just said. But it says, lo, lakrava, to put it on the Mizbeach is Doche Shabbat. Avod Ktsira lo, but for Ktsira it's not Doche Shabbat. Vahatanya, is that really true? Rabbi Omer. At the end of the Parshat Moadim, it says, Vayidaber Moshe et Modei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Ma Talmud Lomar. Why is Moshe telling them the Moadim at the end of the Parsha? The whole Parsha is replete with Moshe telling them when the time is. What do you need a pasuk at the end to tell them? He told them the time. He already told them the times. Lefi shelo lamanu ela latamid upesach. We only know that the Korban HaTamid and the Korban HaPesach are Doche. Shenemar ben bimoado, bimoado. Both of them have the word bimoado in there, which teaches you bimoado afilu b'shabbat, bimoado afilu b'tumah. Moado teaches you that even on Shabbat and even in tumah that you bring them. Now, it's not clear whether the limud derives from the word moado, which says that this is its time, irrespective of what day it is, or irrespective of what the situation is, and that's what causes it to override Shabbat and tumah, because you bring it. B'mo'ado, doesn't really matter if it's Shabbat, doesn't really matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you bring the Korban, that's it. And same thing with Tumah. Or, the way the Baal Yitzchak point out is, each one of these has one of the halachot. Mo'ado, mo'ado is a gzera shava that teaches you to apply it to the other. Which is that by Shabbat, we know that the Korban of Shabbat is Doche Shabbat, because it says, Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato, al Olat HaTamid v'Niska. So that tells you that you bring the Korban Musaf of Shabbat on Shabbat, and you also bring the Korban HaTamid on Shabbat. That's all listed straight there. So there's your precedent for the fact that the Korban HaTamid is Doche Shabbat. With regards to Korban HaPesach, it says, Ish, Ish, Kiyet, Tamei, LeNefesh, if a person is Tamei Mate, and he comes to do the Korban HaPesach, Nidcheit, he's pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's only Ish, Ish. That's an individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. There the Gemara learns, Ish velo tzibur. Only if an individual is Tamei is he pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But if the Tzibur is Tamei, then they do it on Pesach Rishon, even Bitumah. So from there we see that Pesach is Doche Tumah. So now you take Korban Tamid, which is Doche Shabbat, and you have the Korban HaPesach, which is Doche Tumah, and you say Moado, Moado. The word Moado appears by both of them to teach you to cross-pollinate, basically, which to say that if it, Tamid is Doche Shabbat, Pesach is Doche Shabbat. Pesach is Doche Tumah, Tamid is Doche Tumah. So now you have the Korban HaTamid and the Korban HaPesach. What about all the other Korbanot? Shar Korbanot Tzibur Minayin. Where do we know that from? Talmud Omar, Elu Tosul Hashem B'Mo'adeichem. In Parshat Pinchas, it says, these are the Korbanot that you bring B'Mo'adeichem, in their proper time. Again, irrespective if it's a weekday or Shabbat, you bring the Korbanei Musaf. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, you bring the Korbanei Musaf on Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbat, bring the Korbanei Musaf on Shabbat. Minayin Rabot Omer V'Akarev Imo, the Omer and the Korbanot that come with it. Shtei Alechem V'Akarev Imahem, and the Shtei Alechem with all that comes with them. The Korbanot that are associated with the Omer and the Korbanot that are associated with the Shtei Alechem are mentioned in Parshat Emor, not in Parshat Pinchas. They're not Musafim. They are independent Korbanot. Where do we have a indication that they also are Doche Shabbat and Doche Tumah? That's Talmud Omar, Vayedaber Moshe, Moedei Hashem, El Bnei Yisrael. That's what the Moedei Hashem says over there. HaKetuv Kava Moed L'Kulam. That puts a Moed on everything that's there. So you see from this is Rabbi's drasha, and Rabbi is saying, look at the list here. Omer, Vakarev Imo, Shtei Alechem, Vakarev Imahem. You see that they are Doche Et HaShabbat. Lemai. What do you need them to be Doche Et HaShabbat for? Ilei Melah Krava. If it is to be Makriv them on the Mizbeach, Shtei Alechem Bnei Akrava. Ninu? Shtei Alechem are not something that ends up on the Mizbeach. Shtei Alechem, as we've noted already many times, are eaten by the Kohanim. The kvasim, the kibsei atzeret, go on the mizbeach. But the lechem is just nitar yedei kvasim, but the lechem itself is eaten in its entirety by the kohanim. No part of the shtei lechem goes on the mizbeach. That clearly can't be what they're speaking about in terms of dechiyat haShabbat. Can't be speaking about hakrava. Has to be speaking about the processing of these items. El pshita, letchina v'arkada, that it's for the processing of the shtei lechem, which is to mill it and to sift it. All of that would be Doche Shabbat. Utakavata gabe Omer. And a parallel to what would happen by the Omer is Liktzira. That means that Ktzirat Omer would be Doche Et HaShabbat. Bekadochi Et HaShabbat. And you see here that Ktzirat Omer would be Doche Shabbat according to Rabbi. You're telling me Rabbi says Ktzirat Omer is not Doche Shabbat. Here I have a limud from Rabbi that says that Ktzirat Omer is Doche Et HaShabbat. Ella. Ella here means lo. No, you explained it wrong. Ella. Omer la'krava, u'shtei alechem la'afia. Now what is Doche Shabbat here is that the Omer being put on the Mizbeach, not the Ktzirat Omer, but the actual Krava to Omer, and the shtei alechem, yeah, they don't go on Mizbeach, but afia, the right to bake them on Shabbat is what's being permitted over here. Because Savar Rabbi Tanur Mikadesh. And Rabbi believes that the Tanur is Mikadesh the Lechem. And once it's Mikadesh the Lechem, then there's a psul lina. So that's why you can't bake them on Erev Shabbat, because if you bake them on Erev Shabbat and they were nitkadesh, so you day the oven, then they would be pasul lina if you waited to the next day to have them be the shtei alechem for Shavuot. So you have to do it on Shavuot, or you have to do it on Shabbat, because the tanur is mikadesh. If you did it the day before, it becomes pasul lina. The Sava Rabbi tanur mikadesh? Does Rabbi really believe that the tanur is mikadesh to lechem? Vatanyo, don't we have a brayta? Kivsei Atzeret ain mekadshim et alechem ela b'shchita. That the Kivsei Atzeret are mekadesh alechem b'shchita, which implies that it's not the baking in the tanur that's mekadesh them, but the shchita at akvasim that is mekadesh them. Keitzad, shachtam lishman, v'zarak daman lishman. If you do the processing of the Kivsei Atzeret properly, that is a shchita done the proper intent, and zrikat adam done with the proper intent, kidesh alechem, then the lechem becomes kadosh. Shachatan shalodishman, zarak daman shalodishman. if he did shechita improperly and the zrika improperly, lo kidei shalechem, then the lechem does not become kadosh at all because the kibsei atzeret fail completely. Shachatan lishman, v'zarak daman shalol lishman, if he did the shechita lishma and the zrika shalol lishma, halechem kadosh, ve'enu kadosh, divrei rabbi. According to Rabbi, it's partially kadosh, partially not kadosh. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer lo'olam, eno kadosh, ad sheyishchot lishman v'zrok taman lishman. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that unless you get it all right, they are not mitkadesh. So if you do the shechita right and the zrika right, then you have lechem that's kadosh. You don't do either one of them right or both of them not right, no lechem kadosh. Rabbi is of another opinion, which is that if you do them all right, they are kadosh. If you do them partially right, that is, shechita correctly and zrika improperly, the shechita is mekadesh them partly, but not fully. And there we discussed back in the Gemara before what that meant, kadosh, v'eno kadosh. The main point here is that what's being mekadesh them is clearly shechitata kibsei atzeret, and not the afiyah b'tanur. And that means that Rabbi doesn't believe that the afiyah is essential being done in the tanur, because that's not what is mekadesh the lechem. If that's the case, you could do the afiyat alechem on the day before, and you wouldn't need it to be Doche Shabbat, and therefore the principle that Rabbi is indicating here, that their Doche Shabbat, must be in the processing of the Shtei Lechem, and similarly by the Omer, the Ktzirat Omer should be Doche Shabbat. It says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Huk V'u, V'lo Huk V'u Kamar. What is meant by the Shkita over here is not that it is Mikadesh, but rather Huk V'u, that it connects between the Shtei Lechem and the Kivsei Atzeret. We've seen this before, a number of Tosfot says over here, Pirashti beperkat chelet. I already explained this to you back on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where Tosafot says that huk v'u is that they have psul yotze, that you can't take them out of the mikdash at that point in time, that once they become huk v'u, they can't be taken out. Rashi over here says huk v'u means that they become integrally connected. You can no longer take these shtei alechem and connect them with any other kibsei atzeret, or if the kibsei atzeret get lost, they'll have impact on the lechem, or if the kibsei atzeret become pasul, they'll also have impact on the lechem. And you can see that in the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says, Hukvu is the avad alechem abdana kvasim, v'yabdu akvasim avad alechem. Meaning they become integrally connected, where they'll start to influence each other. But not that they are mikadesh to lechem, lechem is mikadesh al yidei afiyah batanur. Hukvu means that they are now joined to a point where they halachically be impacted by that joining. Again, Tosfot says for the fact that there'll be psul yotze, that you can't take it out of the mikdash. Rashi says for the fact that if you want to change them to another kibsei atzeret, that won't work anymore because they are now connected together. Now, as I mentioned back on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, when we discussed the issue of Sfirat Omer, I said we would discuss the issue of Yom Valayla when we got to Ayin Bet Amud Bet. And over here, there's a major machloket amongst the poskim about what is the Psak Halacha in conclusion of this Gemara, and number two, what are the ramifications with regards to Sfirat Omer. So if you look in the Bahag was also quoted by the Baal Yad Tosafot back on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Here is a more detailed view of the Bahag. The Bahag in Siman Ayin Aleph, Vav Hilchot Menachot, says, Mar Rav Yehudai Gaon, Hachi Amar, Heichalod Mana Omer Balayla Kama, if you didn't count Sfirat Omer on the first night, Lo mani bishar lelevata. You can't count Sfira after that. My time all. Dbina sheva shabbatot timirot velelot. Because you need full 7 weeks in all the lelot. Ava bishar lelevata, echad lo mani meurta, mani biyomama. On any other night, if you miss the counting at night, then you count during the day. Bishapir dami, and that's fine. And then the halacha gedolot in siman yudbet of hilchot atzeret, he says, vecheche de inshe velo birech asfirat omer meurta. In a case where he forgot and didn't make a bracha on Sfirat Omer at night, mivarech lemachar, he makes a bracha on the next day. This Bahag seemingly is misquoted by a number of the Rishonim, including the Baal Yad Tosafot in Megillah, who quote him as saying that if you forgot to count at night with a bracha, you count during the day without a bracha. Over here it's clear he says that you count during the day with a bracha. The Baal Yad Tosafot back on Samach Vav Amud Aleph say that the Bahag is incorrect, and that is not the halacha over here. Their machloket relates to how do we paskin. We have a Stam Mishnah in Megillah that says mitzvot at night or only at night, mitzvot during the day or only during the day, implying that Sfirat Omer, which is paralleled with Ktzirat Omer, can only be done at night. You don't do it at night. There's no way to do the mitzvah during the day. As opposed to our Mishnah, where it says the Sfirat Omer, which is connected to Ketzirat Omer, if you didn't do it at night, b'diavad, you could do it during the day. And therefore, if you missed Sfirat Omer at night, you would be able to do it during the day. And so what the Bahag is saying is, he's paskening like our Gemara over here, that says that if you didn't do the Ketzirah at night, then you can do the Ketzirah during the day. And therefore, if you didn't do Sfirat Omer at night, you could do it during the day with a brocha. The other hand, the Baal Tosfot would say, and the Rabbeinu Tam is really the mover of this Shita, and the Gemara Megillah is quoted from the Rabbeinu Tam, but there it has the Bahag agreeing with the Rabbeinu Tam, that if you don't count at night, then you cannot count during the day. Because Aloha is like the Stam Mishnah and Megillah, and not like our Mishnah over here. And even though this Mishnah, because it's located in Menachot, should be the governing Mishnah, nevertheless, since the Mishnah Megillah has what's called Hilchata Psikta, it has a number of halachot that are all clear and definitive Piskei Halacha, then everything in that Mishnah is La Halacha. Therefore, we follow the Mishnah Megillah, which says, if you didn't do Ketzirat Omer at night, you cannot do it during the day. And that would imply also Sfirat Omer. You can only do it at night. You can't do it during the day. Now, the Baal Tosafot quote the Bahag as saying that there is a requirement of Tmimot, and therefore if you miss any day during Sfirat Omer, you cannot continue counting with a bracha at least, because you missed out on Tmimot. The way that we have it quoted in the Bahag, we only have it that if you miss the first night, which he quotes from Yehuda Gaon, that if you miss the first night, then you don't have Tmimot, and then you can't continue counting. But any other night, you can count during the day. Somewhat implied in that is that if you miss the next day as well, then maybe you would not be able to count afterwards. The Baal Tosafot say about that, v'tema gdola hi, that's not the case. Tmimot is just a definition of when you're supposed to count on each day, which is at night. It's not a definition of the mitzvah as a whole. And clearly here you have a machloket as to whether the mitzvah of tmimot means you need to get all the days, all 7 weeks in their entirety, otherwise you don't have a mitzvah, or whether tmimot means each day needs to be as tamim as possible, which means that you have to do it as early as possible at nighttime, counting of the sfirah. Because of those two machlokot, as we noted back on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, we then came to the conclusion that if someone counted at night, good. If they missed it at night, they should count the next day without a bracha. Without a bracha, because the Rabbeinu Tam believes there's no such thing as Sfirat Omer during the day. Bahag says it's fine, you can count with a bracha, but you have a safek brachot, lehakel, so we don't make a bracha. If you count the next day, then the following night you can continue counting mimonov shach. According to the Bahag, you count it during the day, and that counts as Sfirat Omer, and according to him, you need to do all of them to mimot, but you accomplish that by counting during the day. According to the Baal Tosafot, when you count during the day, it's nothing. But even so, they believe that Tmimot doesn't mean it's one big mitzvah, it just means its mitzvah should be done at night. So that means if you miss one day, according to the Baal Tosafot, you can continue the next day. What's very interesting is if you go to the halachot of the Ritz Geut, he quotes different shitot from the Geonim, and explaining those shitot of the Geonim, he comes up with an explanation for some of these differences, or understanding what it is that is driving the shita of the Gaonim. So he brings from there, from the Rav Yehudai Gaon, and from the Rav Sadji Gaon, which is also found in the Tshuvat HaGaonim, that they say that if you did not count on the first night, lo yimne b'shar le'levuta, then you may not count on any of the other nights, because otherwise you have a failure of Shiva Shabbatot Tmimot. But any other night, if you missed it, then you count during the day. And the Rav Sadja goes even further to say, if you forgot to count one night, you can then count the next night with a brocha, because they're not to me'akev each other, aside from the first night. Rav Kohen Tzedek disagrees with that and says, even if he missed the first night, he can continue to count afterwards a brocha, saying that just because you made one mistake doesn't just mean you should continue to make other mistakes. And then, v'nishal me'arav hai. Because if Rav Haigon was asked, I don't understand the difference between the first night and the other nights. If you require Sheva Shetvot Tmimot Timena, and when you miss on the first night, you're missing Tmimot, that's why you can't continue counting, then why does it matter on the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day? If you miss it, then you're missing from the Minyan, from the counting, and therefore it's also be a failure in Tmimot. And in the premise of their question, in non-differentiating between the other nights, they also bring up a shita that is also found amongst the Gonim, which is, If you miss a night of Sfirat Omer, then the next night you just count both of them. Say, for instance, you missed the fifth day. On the sixth night, you would just say, yesterday was the fifth, today is the sixth. And in that way, you have no chisaron in your count, because you've counted each of the days, even though you didn't count it on that day itself, you still gave that enumeration. And just like you can do that in the middle of the Sfirah, why can't you do that on the second night of the Sfirah? Because you'll just say, tonight is the second night of the Sfirah, yesterday was the first night of the Sfirah. So they don't understand why there's a difference between missing the first night versus missing any other night of the Sfirah. In addition, in a Snif Lahakel, they also point out that there are two mitzvot. There's a mitzvah limnot yamim, and there's a mitzvah limnot shvot. Count the days and count the weeks. So even if you miss one day, you still have the aspect of Tmimot because of the counting of the weeks. We discussed that a little bit back on Samach Bava and Aleph. But if that's the case, then you can keep up Tmimot even though you missed a night, and you should be able to make a bracha on every night. And that is also brought in the Shibo Aleket, where he says, "Ubchuat Golim Matzati Mandi Shtale Lebereich Belayla Rishon." Someone made a mistake, didn't count on the first night with the bracha. He counts on the next night. Yesterday was the first of the Omer, and train Omer, and today's two in the Omer. Then you can't chat up with the Shvuot, and that's similar to what the Ritz Geut quoted in the name of the Geonim. So now the Ritz Geut rejects that assumption there should be no difference between the first night and any other night. And he states, Vanu Omrim, my response to these questioners are, Ki v'adai in the chatmimot, el shematchel limnot me'erev tetzayin, dino laila rishon. You can never have tmimot unless you start counting on the first night on the 16th of Nisan. And that's because the word tmimot in the Gemara, first of all, is associated with Ktzirat Omer. And if Ktzirat Omer is done, or the reason we do Ktzirat Omer at night, and not alongside of the Havata Omer, is because of the word tmimot. And from that, the Gemara learns that Ktzirat Omer has to be at the earliest time possible on the 16th at the night. And therefore, there's a specific association with the word Tmimot and the night of the 16th. And if you do not count on that night, that really is a failure in Tmimot. Others have come along and enhanced this view of the Ritz Geut and suggested that when it comes to counting, you need a beginning and you need an end. Whenever you start and begin something, then what's in between, you can say, is somewhat irrelevant, or it can be made up by the fact that you already got the thing in motion. We have that many times by the Sfirat HaTara of a Nida. When she's counting her Shiva Teorim, if she counts or does a check on the first night and a check on the last night, even though she doesn't check every day in between, that gives her the ability then to be Torah afterwards. But if she misses the first night and then starts on the second night to do a check, we can't say that the first night counted already because she didn't check it, meaning that you need somewhere to define a start and you need something to define an end. And therefore, the counting of the first night is essential because otherwise you can't count afterwards. A count, by definition, needs a starting point. To go on the second night and say yesterday was the first night means that you failed to start the count. And that's why there might be a difference between the first night and any other night with regards to missing the Omer. The Rav Yoel over here has an even more radical view of the Sfirat Omer, where he says, first of all, Sfirat Omer is midoraita. He agrees with those shitot that we discussed in Samach Bava Aleph that it's doraita. He says that if you don't count at night, you should count the next day without a brocha, because of brocha lebatalai. The lule shekasha li lachlok alayhen, even though it would be hard for me to argue on them, these great people who say that, havamino afilo bebracha, I would think that you should be able to make a brocha even during the daytime. The same way when you miss a tefillah, you can make up the tefillah in the next area, and when you make it up, you say it fully with all the brachot, so too over here, you would make it up with the brachot. And then later on in the Rav Yoel, he says, we came into Sfira Doraitahi as Lina Nechumra. That means anytime you have a safek with regards to Sfira to Omer, we go to Chumra and we tell you to count again. And when you have a safek and you go back and count again because of a safek, you should make a bracha with it. Even though the bracha itself is not midoraita, the came into sfira doraita. Since sfira is doraita, but tzarich lispor lav milta lispor below bracha. Main kamishum bracha lebatala. Therefore, the bracha is connected to the sfira, and there's no reason to count sfira without a bracha. And therefore, there's no bracha lebatala. One of his proofs is from the Gemara in Brachot that says that if you have a safek with regards to emet v'yatsiv, which is the oraita, you have to go back and repeat it, even though it involves a bracha, and the formulation is only a formulation midirabbanan. So even though the construct or the bracha itself is midirabbanan, but it's tied into a mitzvah d'oraita, and you have to repeat the mitzvah because of safek d'oraita l'chumra, he believes you have to repeat the bracha as well. So the Rav Yoh, like the Bahag, has a view that number one, you can, during the daytime, count the Omer. But number two, he believes that you can make a bracha on it when you count during the daytime. And even more than the Bahag, he believes that anytime you have a safek in the issue of Sfirat Omer, which is d'oraita, then you make up that safek and count again, you would have to make a bracha along with it. Last thing that's interesting to discuss is the Shita of the Rambam, which the Lecha Mishnah points out is very difficult according to our Gemara. And that is, the Rambam says, mitzvah lekatzer b'layla b'leil shishasar ben b'chol ben b'shabbat. He clearly says that Ktzirat Omer is dochet ha-shabbat, and it should be died on the night of the 16th. B'chol ha-layla kasher l'ktzirat Omer, all night is kasher l'ktzirat Omer, v'im katzru b'yom kasher. If you cut it during the day, it is okay. And as the Lecha Mishnah points out, according to our sugya, that's impossible. According to the one who thinks that you can cut during the day, which is Rabbi Shita, it's not doche at the Shabbat, because the fact that there is an option to do it during the day, therefore permits you to do it in the day beforehand. And b'diavad, if you can do it before and not violate Shabbat, then we tell you to do it before and not violate Shabbat, even though that's a b'diavad accomplishment of the mitzvah. If you believe that the only time you can do it is at night, then it's doche at the Shabbat. But the Rambam here paskins both halachot, that it's doche at the Shabbat, and if you do it b'diavad during the yom, it's kasher. So Lechem Lishta leaves that as a tzarachiyun. I don't understand how the Rambam brought these two seemingly unreconcilable positions over here. This brings many of the briskers like the Griz to make a suggestion with regards to Ktzirat Omer, that when we say that Ktzirat Omer during the day is okay, what does that mean? Does that mean that we believe that you're mekayim the mitzvah of Ktzirat Omer when you do it during the day and not at night? Or do we say when you do Ktzirat Omer during the day, that Ktzira is kasher lahavat Omer, but it doesn't get you the mitzvah of Ktzirat HaOmer? And based on that latter explanation, that Ktzirat Omer during the day allows you to bring Havat Omer, kasher lahavat Omer, but it's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, that might be exactly what the Rambam is saying over here. The Rambam is saying that during the day it's kasher lahavat Omer, but that doesn't mean you accomplish the mitzvah of Ktzirat Omer. And that's why when you do it at night, you're still allowed to be Doche Shabbat, because that's the only way to accomplish Ktzirat Omer b'mitzvata. Now, according to that view that it doesn't get you Ktzirat Omer, then explaining the machlog between the Bahag and the Balei Tosfot is more difficult. And therefore, in the Masorah journal, Rav Soloveitchik makes a suggestion that if you do believe that there's no accomplishment of the mitzvah of Ktzirat Omer during the day, you might explain the machlog between the Balei Tosfot and the Bahag in the following manner. You could argue that both of them think that Ktzirat Omer is only at night, but that fact that the Bahag says that Sfirat Omer is not just keneged Ktzirat Omer, but it also is keneged Havata Omer. And therefore he believes that Sfirat can be done both at night, keneged Ktzirat Omer, and during the day, keneged Havata Omer, whereas the Balei Tosfot think that it's only keneged Ktzirat Omer, and therefore you can only do it at night. And that might also relate to how connected or integrally connected you think Ktzirat Omer and Havata Omer are. Are they two separate mitzvot? Meaning that Ktzirat Omer is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, and Havata Omer is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, and Monei mitzvot, like the Reim, actually count them as two separate mitzvot. Or do we believe that it's a single mitzvah? Ktzirat Omer is the facilitator for Havata Omer. There's only one single mitzvah, which is Havata Omer. Ktzira is a prerequisite, but it's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And that might also then influence how you view the Ktzirat Omer by day, as well as how much the Sfirat Omer is connected solely to Ktzirat Omer versus connected to Ktzirat Omer in Havata Omer. The other possibility, the Rambam, is based on the Sheet of Rabbi Yishmael that we quoted before, which is that the fact that B'charish B'katzir Tishvot says that when it's Charish Shel Rishut and Ktzira Shel Rishut, it's not Doche Shabbat, but Ktzirat Mitzvah is Doche at Shabbat. That might mean that when it comes to Ktzirat Omer on Shabbat, it's completely Hutra. And if that's the case, then if you combine that position of Rabbi Yishmael with the position that Ktzirat Omer by the day is Kasher, then you could argue that Ktzirat Omer, the Gavei Shabbat, is never in conflict. because it was exempted from Melechet Shabbat. And therefore, when it comes to Ktzirat Omer on Shabbat, it's Hutra Legamre. That's whether you do it at night or during the day. So that would mean then that you would have the possibility of doing the Ktzirat Omer during the day and being kosher, and still have it be Doche et the Shabbat, or really Hutra Legamre Shabbat. Even though that's unlike Rabbi's position, who's holding like his grand Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, that doesn't allow such a thing, and who interprets the pasuk of a harishu katsir tishvot about shvi'it and not Shabbat, and therefore he doesn't have that head there. But the Rambam who paskins like Rabbi Yishmael and like Rabbi that it's kasher bayom, he can have a situation in which even though it's mutar during the yom, it's still doche at Shabbat. Now back on Samach Vav and Aleph, we already discussed what the halakhic outcome is with regards to Sfeik Sveika and this issue, as we noted already before, that in these situations where you count it during the day, you count without a bracha, and then you can continue counting with a bracha afterwards. The Or Zeruah and many others point out that once you've missed a day, ma'od can die to keep counting without a bracha, because there's no downside, and it's very likely, according to many of the poskim, that there's still a mitzvah to count, even though you missed one day. And therefore, one who misses a day and can no longer count with a bracha, they should definitely count without a bracha. Alright, with that we complete the sixth perek, Adran Alach, Rabbi Shema. Now just to note here that the sixth perek, according to many, is out of order. The perek that we just learned is out of order. If you look in the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayot, perek Rabbi Shema is actually the tenth perek in the Perish of Mishnayot, not the sixth perek. And that is, as you're going to see now, the Mishnah we're about to begin with seems to be a clear continuation of the Mishnayot in the fifth perek. If you look back in the fifth perek, which was Kol HaMenachot Ba'ot Matzah, that perek ended with the Mishnayot that are describing the different characteristics of the Menachot. Some require Hagasha, some require Tenufa, some require both, some require neither. We had the same thing with Shemen and Levona. Some require both, some require neither, some require one or the other. So these are all the descriptions, and now we're going to move on to another description at large of Menachot. And that's why this perek seemingly should be connected or a continuation of the previous perek. The reason that Rabbi Shmuel might have been brought in is because of the Tnufa and Hagasha, whereby that Mishnah there ends that the Omer requires both Tnufa and Hagasha. And that might be why the perek of Rabbi Shmuel came in, which is a description of the Korban Omer. That's what we just spent all the time on, the Korban Omer, not the other Menachot. But from a content standpoint, it would make more sense that what we're about to read is the seventh perek should have been juxtaposed adjacent to the fifth perek, and this perek of the Omer would be later on in the Masechta. Just something to note, because now we're going to jump back all of a sudden. You're going to say, where did this come from? We're jumping back to what we left off with in the end of the fifth perek. Ve'elu menachot nik mitzot v'she'areyam nekoanim. These menachot require a kmitza, and the residual is eaten by the Kohanim. Minchat ha-solet, machavat, ha-marcheshet, v'achalot, Varikikim. So all of these are the five minachot of Nidava that are mentioned in Perek Bet of Vayikra. That's the minchad asolet, the minchad machavat, which is the shallow pan with oil. Marcheshev, which is the deep pot with oil. Chalot and rikikim are the two manifestations of mafeh tanur. Those are the five minachot that are brought there in Perek Bet. Minchat oved kochavim and minchat nashim. Okay, and we saw this in the fifth perek when we discussed this, that the mincha of a goy and the mincha of an isha, even though there were possibilities of excluding them or thinking otherwise, they have the same din as these menachot, and you take off a kmitzah that goes on the mizbeach, and the chirayim are eaten by the kohenim. Uminchat omer, uminchat chote, uminchat knaot. So minchat omer, which we just spent the whole perek discussing, minchat chote is the Korban Olevi Oreid, the four Averot that are mentioned there by Korban Olevi Oreid, where the highest level is a Korban animal, the Mizbeach, the next one is an Oaf, and then the poorest individual brings a Minchat, that's Minchat Choteh. Minchat Kanaot is for a Sota, the accused Sota brings a Minchat Kanaot in order to determine whether she really did have a extramarital affair when she's secluded with that individual that she's accused of being together with. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchat Choteh Shel Kohanim Nikmetzet, that when it comes to minchat koteva koanim, it is to have a kmitza taken off it. The komets karev latzmo, v'shirayim krevim latzman. The komets is put on the mizbeach by itself, and the shirayim by itself. We know that korban mincha v'koein is kalil. That's one of the rules of mincha, is that any mincha that is brought by a koein has to be kalil ala mizbeach. Once you know that, if a Kohen brings a Minchat Choteh, which is not a Mincha that's exclusively or particular to Kohanim, we have certain Korbanot Mincha that are exclusive or relegated only to Kohanim, and that is the Chavitin, which the Kohen Gadol brought every day, Machitzita Bavok and Machitzita Ba'erev, and the induction of a Kohen into service also brought a Minchat Chavitin on that day. So those are clearly Kaliol because those are Minchat Kohanim. What's true is that also by Nidava, all the Menachot of a Kohen are Kaliol LaHashem, and that they don't have a Kemitza that's taken off of them. The question comes up with the Minchat Choteh, which is not a Korban that is relegated or unique to a Kohen. Everybody brings it, and it's connected to a Korban Zevach, Of, and then Mincha. So what Rabbi Shimon points out is that even though there's a requirement that the mincha of a Kohen be Kaliel, when it comes to Minchat Choteh, you do the Kaliel part of it by doing two stages. You take off the komets, and then you put the komets and the shiraim onto the Mizbeach. So even though everything's going to end up in the Mizbeach, you still take off the komets. Unlike by other Minchat Kohanim, where you just put the entire thing on the Mizbeach, there is no matir, there is nothing that is separated away from the Korban at first before you put it onto the Mizbeach. What's interesting about that is what's the status of the Shirayim. Over here, the Achronim debate what the Shirayim are. Are they really something that's Mu'ad HaKrabah? Or is it we put on the Mizbeach because the Kohanim can't eat it? Because they can't eat it, therefore we put it onto the Mizbeach. And then also, there are also Nafkaminot as to what you think is happening here in terms of whether there's Pigul, because you have now a Matir, and that maybe only be Matir, the Shirayim, if you put on the Mizbeach. If that's the case, then you have a possibility of Pigul, which usually is not the case by a Minchat Kohen. So Minchat Kohen is Kaleo, there is no Matir. It's Matir itself, it puts itself on the Mizbeach, the entirety goes on the Mizbeach. So that all will depend on what you think the status of the Hakravah, the Shirayim are, whether it's really a Hakravah, or it's just, that's what we do with it because we have nothing else to do with it. Right, there's nothing else to do with it. Amar Rav Papa, Kohecha Detnan, this is a statement of Rav Papa that we've seen twice on two Mishnayot that were found in the fifth Perek, which would also explain why maybe this should have been right afterwards, which is Kohecha Detnan, Eser Tnan. Everywhere it says in the Mishnah about the Menachot, it says 10. My Kamash Malan, what does that teach you? Lafuke Mid Rabbi Shimon, to exclude or to reject the position of Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Mechse Chalot, Mechse Rukim Yavi. I mean, there's a possibility of bringing a Minchat Ma'afet Tanur, half from Chalot and half from Rikikim. Kamash Malan, Dulo, that teaches us not. Now, Rav Papa's statement is somewhat ambiguous. Rashi brings two explanations to it. The first explanation is that everything that's mentioned in the Mishnah comes in units of 10. That means every Mincha that's mentioned here, you bring 10 units of that in terms of the Mincha. So that would mean that by Ma'afet Tanur, you would bring 10 units. So here there's only 10 units of Chalot, or 10 units of Rikikim. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have a possibility of a Mincha Ma'afet Tanur, which is 5 Chalot and 5 Rikikim. So that's why Rav Papa's statement goes against Rabbi Shimon, because it says every unit that is found here is going to have 10 units to it. The problem with that, we already noted when we learned this the first time, is that first of all, Minchat Chavitim, the Gemara says, comes in 12 units. And it's not even clear that a Minchat Solet has any units whatsoever. Truth is, it's maybe baked by the Kohanim later on, according to the Rambam, and then it maybe has to come as 10. But that's not clear. Rashi brings a second interpretation, which is, there are always 10 Menachot mentioned in the Mishnah. If you enumerate the number of Menachot here, there are actually 10 Menachot that are mentioned. That's true in this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah also that mentioned them. There are always 10. Now that comes to exclude Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there would be 11. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's not only a Mincha of Chalot and Mincha of Rikikim, there's also another Mincha called Chalot and Rikikim. The fact that there are only 10 and not 11 comes to exclude that position of Rabbi Shimon. So that's the way we learned from Papa before, when he was mentioned previously on the Mishnayot, the fifth parak. So Yareim the Kohanim, and the residual of all these Menachot go to the Kohanim. Me no one. How do we know that that's the case? Gemara says, the Ktiva, Ktiva. When it's written, we know it's written. Udalo Ktiva, Ktivba. And that which is not written about it, you have this pasuk. Vizot Torat HaMincha, Krevel Ta B'nei Aron. Vatoderet Mimeno, Yochlu Aron Banav. The Gemara points out that when it comes to the Menachot of the Nidava, it specifically says over there that the residual goes to the Kohanim. It says, when the Menachot over here, Vanoteret min ha-mincha, Varon uvanav, Kodesh Kodeshim, Yishe Hashem. So that is an explicit pasuk in Perek Bet with all the regards to the Menachot Nidava that are mentioned there. Now, the Gemara wants to know, other menachot, where you don't have it mentioned explicitly, how do we know that they're covered by this? That's because by Parshat Tzav, there it says, Zot Torat HaMincha, HaKrev Ota B'nei Aron Lifnei Hashem U'Pnei HaMizbeach. Then they take off the comets from it, and it says, V'noter Yemeno Yochlu Aron V'Adam Matzot Te'achel B'Makom Kadosh V'Chatzar U'Moed Yochlu. That's an overarching din with regards to Mincha, that anything that is in Torat HaMincha, Torah Achat, the Chol HaMenachot, that the Shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim. So, by chitim, lo kimi bailan. Says, when you bring it from wheat, I don't have a question about it. Ki kami bailan, ba'as se'orin. My problem or my question really relates to se'orin when it comes from barley. Rashi over here, it's not in the Rashi that we have. It's in the Rashi Ktav Yad that you see down below, because Tosfot quotes Rashi, and we don't have it in our Rashi. The Rashi Ktav Yad has it. And Tosfot says that Rashi says that stam mincha is from chitim. Whenever the Torah says something generically with regards to a mincha, Istam mincha comes from chitim. It's an exception when it comes from se'orim. That's not the normal case. Therefore, when it says zot torat, Torah chad l'chol ha-menachot, that's for your standard menachot, for those that come from chitim, not from se'orim. The Baalei HaTosafot do not like that explanation, because they say we find other situations in which zot torat ha-mincha is brought up, and the Gemara does not ask, oh, that's good for chitim, where do you know for se'orim? Gemara does not make that distinction. So Tosfot says the reason that Gemara says it over here is because it says v'noteret mimena yochlu aron ubanav, that the Kohanim will eat it. And as Tosfot points out, chitim are machal adam, se'orim are machal behema. And that's the problem over here. Because it says here, aron ubanav are going to eat it, but se'orim or barley is not something usually consumed by individuals. That's consumed by animals. And that's why he believes that zotarat ha-chadat does not apply over here. So if that's the case, you don't have the Minchat Kina'ot covered, and you don't have the Minchat HaOmer covered, because both of those come from Se'orim. So how do we know that those have a Kemitza taken off of them, and Shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim? So Gemara says, Basorim Nami, Midirik Metzet, Shiarel HaKohanim. Gemara says, you don't need any precedence for this, because by definition, if a Kemitza is taken off, the implications are that the residual is going to the Kohanim. That's the paradigm that we have by every mincha. There's no exception. Anytime you take off a kemitza, the residual goes to the Kohanim. So if you want to know what you do with the mincha that's se'orim, that's mincha kanaot, and a mincha ta'omer, you're taking a kemitza off of it? I know that anytime you take off a kemitza, what happens with the residual is eaten by the Kohanim. So according to the Rabbanan, I really don't have a question. The problem is by Rabbi Shimon, Tamar ika mincha de mikmitza velo mitachlo. De tanan, Rabbi Shimon omer, minchat chotesh shel kohanim nikmetzet, vekometz karev la'atzmo, veshirayim krevim la'atzman. Because he has a paradigm that doesn't match the other paradigms. Every mincha where the kmitza is taken off, the kohanim eat it. But Rabbi Shimon has one case, minchat chotesh, where you take off a kmitza, and yet the shirayim are not eaten by the kohanim. The Minchat Chotei of Kohanim that he mentioned in our Mishnah, we take off a kemitza and the shirayim are not eaten by the Kohanim. So now, I don't know, when I have a Minchat Se'orim, it says take off a kemitza, what do I do with the shirayim? I have two paradigms. One paradigm is put on the Mizbeach, one paradigm is eaten by the Kohanim. I don't know which one it is over here. So Minolan, Rabbi Shimon's view, how do we know that it also applies to Se'orim? Mechinsiya damakra, mechol mincha blula bashemen v'chareiba. The Chol Bnei Aron Tiyeh Im Eino Inyan the Blula Shel Chitim Tneu Inyan the Blula Shel Se'orim Im Eino Inyan the Chariva Shel Chitim Tneu Inyan Chariva Shel Se'orim. What they're doing is quoting a pasuk that is by the Lachmei Todah. The pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin pasuk Tet V'chol Mincha Asher Te'afe B'Tanur V'chol Naseh B'Marcheshet V'al Machavat. The Kohen HaMakriv Ota lo tiyeh, v'chol mincha b'lulav v'shemen, v'chareiva l'chol bnei Aron tiyeh, ish ki'achiv. So here you have a pasuk that says all these korbanei mincha belong to the Kohanim. Included in there is blula v'shemen, that means a korban mincha that's mixed with oil, and chareiva is a dry one, which means that it's not mixed with oil. So now I have a question. What do I do with the minchat se'orim of an omer and the minchat se'orim of a minchat kina'ot? I don't know what the din is with regards to them when the kemitza is taken off. What do you do with the shirayim? The shirayim go on the mizbeach, shirayim eaten by the kohanim. So what the Gemara says is we have this pasuk that tells you that any mincha that's mixed with shemen, should be eaten by the Kohanim, the residual. Any dry mincha is also eaten by the Kohanim. Now, like Rashi said before, you would have assumed this is speaking about a mincha that comes from chitin. First of all, in the context in which it's written, it's speaking about korbanei todah and the lachmei todah, which will all come from chitim. And so the assumption, or your assumption would be, that it's speaking about chitim over here. But I don't need it for chitim. Because for chitim, I already have that. I already have the explicit pasuk by the minachot that are nidavot. And I also have zotrat amincha, which also tells me by chitim, that residual goes to the kohanim. So now, what do I do with this pasuk? I don't need it for chitim. I'm going to use it for sorim. And it teaches me by sorim. Chol mincha b'lo b'shemen. The only mincha that's mixed with oil that comes from barley is the minchat ha'omer. The dry one is minchat kenaot. The minchat kenaot of the isha sota comes from barley without oil in it. It's a chareva. So those are two minachot. And it says over there, the chol b'nei aron tia, ish k'achim. They go to b'nei aron. So now I have a source, even according to Rabbi Shimon, for all the minachot that if you have a kmitza taken off of them, the shiraim go to the kohanim. With the one exception for Rabbi Shimon, which is a minchat choteh of a kohen, where that residual will go on the mizbeach. All right, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom, because the Gemara is going to challenge the usage of this pasuk, because we have another use for this pasuk about dividing up korbanot. That's going to take us all the way through tomorrow's daf.